Welcome back to another episode of the Jasmine Star Show. I have to tell you, this episode, unbeknownst to me, was a couple years in the making. I am having a fangirl moment because my guest today is Sade. Now, here's the thing. I like to bring on guests who I know or have met in some personal capacity. And so this is kind of like a little bit of a loophole to this because I feel like I know Sade because of Instagram and social media and the amazing, powerful content that she is putting out. But before I move on and talk about a little bit of how we connected in that capacity, Sade, thank you and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jasmine. It's really exciting to be here and very much one of these 360 moments. It's, I'm sure we'll share a little bit of how we came to know of each other.
Let's start there.
Let's go to the beginning.
Yes. So from your perspective, because I feel like I had a light bulb moment that I wasn't connecting the dots. So how did our paths cross from your perspective?
Okay, so from my perspective, many, many years back, I was just leaving the corporate world. I'd spent 10 years in the corporate world, and I was moving into the digital course world. And so it was actually through Amy Porterfield that I came across your work. And, you know, in the world of social media, there's so much content. So when you mm-hmm. find someone who you really resonate with, it stands out. And your content really stood out for me because you were so authentic. And I wrote to you, I think this was back in maybe 2018. Mm-hmm. And I just wrote an Instagram message saying, Jasmine, mm-hmm. I love everything you and JD stand for. Mm-hmm. I love your journey. So inspired by it. And you replied. And for me back then, you know, this was before I had a social following, before I knew what I was doing. It was amazing to see you take the time to actually connect with someone who wrote to you. Mm-hmm. Then fast forward many, many years. Mm-hmm. I've been on this journey for 2 years. You reach out to me because I think you'd come across maybe one of my reels on Instagram.
Yes.
And it was this mutual moment of just connection and excitement.
This is exactly how I remembered the story, except for the fact that, so yes, I do respond to my direct messages. This is how I've always navigated. I love understanding who is following and meeting people in their journey. And this just goes to show y'all, because what Sade is not mentioning is that she has, to say blown up is like an understatement of what has happened. And so for me, I just want to take a moment of gratitude for seeing people at different stages of their journey and making sure you see people, like you see people on their way up. And so the crazy thing was, I responded to the message, and then years later, Sade's reels keep on coming to me, and I'm like, this woman's amazing. I'm like, she's just amazing. I consume everything. And just one day, and I'm like, you know what? I told the podcast producer, I said, Christy, I need to get this woman on my show. I just need to. And normally we kind of go through like a formal like invitation. And I'm like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm just gonna go to Instagram. I open Instagram, I send you a DM, and then I see a history of our correspondence. And I'm like, we've spoken. Like, we've spoken to each other. And so I just want to take a moment and a minute to go back and like touch a little bit on something you had mentioned. You started your journey. You had spent 10 years of your career in like the corporate world. But one thing that kind of struck me is that you've said that you didn't really feel like you fit in. And so then talk to me about that journey. And then what caused you to say, you know what, I'm going to get into this kind of course creation world.
Yeah, so it's definitely an interesting journey, and we've actually moved on since the course creation. So
right.
I spent 10 years in corporate, and during that time, I never really felt like I fit in. I mm-hmm. basically just followed the path that everyone says you follow. You graduate, you go to college, you get out, you get a job. And so I was going down this route that didn't excite me. Mm. But I was finding ways to do it well. So look, when I first started my corporate career, I was filled with imposter syndrome, self-doubt, to the point that I started my career in the law. I was a lawyer. And I would hide behind my cubicle so that people didn't give me tasks because I was convinced I wouldn't know how to do it. And then they'd discover that I shouldn't be there. Classic mm-hmm. imposter syndrome. So I had to learn how to navigate within those environments. Then, you know, towards the end of my corporate life, that's when I really knew that my passion was actually not being in that space. It was actually helping other people thrive, helping other people mm-hmm. understand what it takes to be happy and successful. Because I'm a big believer that you have to have both of them. You know, if you've got happiness, you are successful. But people also want the financial success, the business success. And if you can get them together, that's that beautiful magic. You know, that's when magic is made. So my husband and I, and one of the reasons why I love what you do and your involvement with JD is I work with my husband too. So there's a lot of similarities mm-hmm. I see in what you share and what we experience. We have made it our life mission to understand what it is that people need to learn, people need to equip themselves with, and how they can overcome their blocks to really just be their best self, to feel like they're contributing their gifts in the best way possible. And that looks completely different to every single person. But what is common is some of these underlying blocks that people have. And the doubt that holds a lot of people back. And doubt, we know, can be one of the biggest self-saboteurs, if you like, when we listen to that voice. But that, so going back to the journey, when I was leaving corporate, we wanted to create an online course that was going to be our way to transition. We had a number of corporate clients lined up, but we wanted to also reach the consumer and help the individual. Okay. I started out actually
let me pause for 1 second. Actually, you were going to right where I wanted to go, because I want a listener to realize that the path looks different. You left corporate with like this idea of what you were going to do, and it wasn't the end idea. It was the idea that got you to the idea and the permission around that. So if you're wondering what the big takeaway here is, let me just get to the end. We're going to be talking about harnessing self-doubt to take your business to the next level. Harnessing your self-doubt. And what I want to do is make sure that we're looking at Sade's journey to see that she's practicing what she's preaching. So you have this plan to leave corporate, and you're creating courses for whom?
This is the interesting part. Initially, it was women between the ages of 25 to 35 who were in the corporate world, who were struggling with confidence and imposter syndrome and not being taken seriously, because I had lived it and I wanted to help them. So that was our plan. We started creating content across social media. I have an interesting TikTok story, which I'll share for later, started creating content on social media. Now, within about a year, so we'd launched our first course. It was really successful, which is amazing. We realized, though, even though my content was geared towards a female audience, I never once said women, ladies. I still kept my communication very general. But I was finding that 70% of my audience was actually not women. My message was actually resonating with people outside of who I thought was my niche. And so we had to really take a moment and reflect. And this can happen on the journey where you go out there targeting a niche. I think like there's two ways of seeing it. On the one side, be true to your niche, serve your niche, and then they'll find you. But on the other hand, there's nothing wrong with reevaluating.
Absolutely.
And if you're finding that your message is actually hitting others and they're really resonating, it may be worthwhile to actually pivot and consider how can you still do what you do, but expand it so you can bring in all these other experiences. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we did. I should probably also mention, we run a global leadership development consulting and research firm. So we have a very strong presence supporting organizations, some of the leading organizations around the world. But what we do on the social media side is really just help the individual, regardless of where they work, what they do, what business they're in, or what business they're running. And we were just finding that it was actually, our message was being received by men more so than women. So we had a little bit of a pivot moment. We thought, okay, how can we serve everybody? And then that's when the focus of the social media shifted to broadening out our audience. And it's been amazing, and I'm sure we'll get into this, but the power of video, especially short bite-sized content where people are seeing you, hearing you, you're coming up in their feed frequently. The trust that you build with people is phenomenal. And even though, you know, just one other note, even though we specialize in building confidence, overcoming blocks, peak performance, that's our space. We find people reaching out for relationship advice, for help on navigating things completely outside of our area of expertise. But once you become known for something and you're true to who you are and you do it well, people will want you to help them with all sorts of things. And that's beautiful, because it demonstrates, it's like a friend, right? We go to that one friend that we have that we trust and that's obviously competent at what they do, and we'll take their guidance and their advice. And so the beautiful thing about being online and creating, cultivating these communities with people all over the world who resonate with you is the ability to help in so many different ways. And you never know the ripples of impact that you're creating in someone's life simply through what you choose to share.
One of the things that really resonates again and again through like a thread through the content, it is said without being said, is that we all go through different internal blocks, and you give tips and takeaways. And so when you had said that people will come to you for like relationship advice, I'm like, I completely understand why. If I wasn't happily married, I would be like, I would trust you with everything from internal blocks, my corporate path, a relationship, and I would probably trust you if you had a cooking show. I'm not lying. It is just your ability to make people believe and see things from a different perspective. Now, before we get in, I don't think that Sade would ever say these things, but she's a best-selling author, a two-time Netherlands TEDx speaker, and she's currently doing her PhD research in peak performance. So when we talk about making sure that we're well-rounded to speak to these things, I just feel incredibly honored that you are here. Now, we will absolutely talk about video presence and bite-sized pieces of building your credibility, but a lot of things stop us from getting started. We will come up with 1,000 ideas of why it would work for you, and oh, that would never work for me. So one of your recent posts, you had shared that you got to the moral of the story. So I'll start at the moral of the story. The moral of the story is just start. But that you had mentioned when you began this post was that our brains are hardwired to not leave things unfinished. And then it was a scientific study where it said a waiter would remember somebody's order. And then the minute that they placed the order, it would be pushed out because our brains are hardwired to remember these things. And so what you got through this whole like scientific study was just get started. The moral of the story, quote, if you want to complete a goal, you have to start. Start small, start messy, start imperfectly, but start. And so where do you see people getting stuck when it comes to achieving their goals?
Yeah, really great question. And just on the note around, you know, getting started, you know, doing it messily, I think there's so much joy and fulfillment that comes from starting a goal and knowing that it's not perfect. Because you're on that journey of imperfection, you can see the progress. But when it comes to where people get stuck, so we have, because of the nature of what we share online, we have so many people reaching out, sharing with us where they're struggling. In addition to that, obviously, I'm doing my PhD in this space, so I'm almost able to look at what people are really feeling and then what the research is telling us and looking at these connection points. So when it comes to people getting stuck, we generally find there are three buckets. Now, I don't like to categorize people, but for the sake of simplicity, I'll tell you about these three buckets. They all relate to self-doubt. Now, if we define self-doubt, it's simply a lack of conviction and a lack of confidence in your abilities. So you doubt that you bring any value. And it can manifest as this persuasive voice in our minds that tells us, and Jasmine, you touched on some of this, it says things like, you're not ready, you're not good enough, they're so much better than you, no one's going to want to listen to you. And then we listen to it, and then we don't act, and then it creates a self-perpetuating cycle. So there are three buckets people typically fall into. The first one, we call them mind pits, because they all originate with what's going on up here. The first is the failure to launch. So this is where someone may have, and I imagine, Jasmine, your audience, a lot of people listening, you would have all these amazing goals, things that you want to achieve, but for some reason, you're just not getting started. A lot of people find themselves here. So they have clarity on what they want, business ideas. They're saving Instagram posts to implement whatever was taught, but they don't take action. Now, people get stuck right at the beginning for a number of reasons. And when we look at decades worth of research, the one overarching theme is to do with something called rumination, which is simply overthinking. When we overthink something, it leads us to stagnation because we have a tendency, our brains are wired to magnify the negative. We have a negativity bias. We tend to fixate on what could go wrong, what's missing, what threats there are, because it increases our chances of survival. So this has been very good for us from an evolutionary perspective. It's kept us alive. However, in the world that we find ourselves in, a lot of these threats are actually what we're conjuring up in our mind. What if I fail? What if no one responds to this post? What if this business idea is rubbish? We fixate on risks, we magnify risks, and then we don't act. I actually, just this morning on Instagram, I saw a post someone had shared. I don't recall the author. It was a quote, and it simply said, "Fortune sides with those who dare." And I feel like that's a really valuable quote for people in this failure to launch category. You've just got to take the action. So that's our first bucket. Second bucket. Now, this comes from, there was a young man I met with many years ago, and I remember this story because he was telling me how, you know, he was highly talented. He was 1 year away from finishing his PhD. Now, PhDs are 3 to 5 year programs. It's rigorous experience, a lot of research. He was halfway through, but he told me he was going to drop out. And then he also told me that he had also dropped out of his second master's degree in order to go and do the PhD. So it seemed like he was starting something and then just not able to see it through. And we call this the bucket of treading water. So you start a lot of things, but you just can't seem to actually complete them. Now, why does this happen? Self-doubt leads you to question whether you've made the right decision, which leads you to feel dissatisfied, and then you convince yourself that the grass is greener on the other side. So you lose motivation for the thing that you initially committed to doing. You basically become bored. And then when you're bored, you don't have the motivation. You don't get that dopamine hit up here. So then you think, well, this isn't for me. I'm going to do something else. You keep moving. You don't commit 100%. Now, there are two reasons why this often happens. The first is a lack of meaning. You've forgotten why you're doing the thing. Now, this young man I spoke to, who had stopped his PhD halfway through, he went and opened up a charity that worked with underprivileged youth. And he's still doing that 5 years later, and he is so very fulfilled. So it's not actually that he couldn't commit. He was just doing the wrong things. He's committed now to his non-for-profit work. So that's one reason. People forget, what's the impact of what you're trying to do? Now, the second big mistake that we make is all about motivation. Jasmine, have you seen the movie Dune?
No.
Or have you heard of it?
No.
It's, I think it came out last year, and I just happened to watch it on the plane. Now, it came out, you know, long before the world, the Star Wars days. It's actually based on a book. Doesn't matter about the movie, but there was one scene in this movie that really stuck with me. There was this young man called Paul, and he's being trained to fight. So one day, his trainer comes into the room, and Paul says, "Oh, not today. I'm not in the mood." Now, his trainer replies and says, "It's not about being in the mood. When the enemy comes, they're not going to come later because you're not in the mood, right? You have to fight when you need to fight." Why I like this little scene is that the message is that it's not always about feeling motivated or being in the mood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we know very well, motivation wanes. Just because your motivation towards something drops, it doesn't mean it's a sign to stop. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people think it is. This isn't what I should be doing. So actually, what's more important than motivation? And I've only come to this realization very recently, because I was all about motivation, find the motivation, improve your motivation. It's actually about one thing, and it's discipline.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Doing something even if you don't feel like it, but you've committed to doing it. That's the power of discipline. So they're our first two buckets. We have one final one. Feel free to stop me at any time because I get so passionate about these
things. Are you kidding me? Oh. I'm going to the University of Sade. I'm like, I'm on my three buckets, and point two has two sub points. So let's bring everybody back. So bucket number one was overthinking.
Yes.
We come to a point of stagnation and like what could go wrong. And oftentimes we make up these scenarios and we make those fake scenarios true, and that stops us. The second bucket would be treading water. And this is where we can't complete and we're losing motivation. We think that if we lose motivation, it's an indication that we shouldn't be doing this. And part of the reason why is perhaps we have a lack of meaning. And you use that example of somebody starting a charity and he stuck to it because it meant something to him. And that discipline is greater than motivation. Bucket number three, let's go. I'm on board.
Let's
choo
do
choo.
It.
Okay. Okay.
So bucket number three, I call it destination obsession. Essentially what this means is that it's an inability to sit still. So you don't have a discipline problem. In fact, you have a lot of discipline. You keep pushing, but you push so hard you actually don't give yourself a break. So you feel guilty when you stop working. You reach a goal. So you're good at setting goals. You reach your goals. You get to your destination and you immediately put a new one into your GPS. It's never enough for you.
Or, Sade, or you get to the goal line and then you move the post. This, I feel like you're calling me out. I feel like I'm like, oh no, let's end the podcast. I don't want to hear the rest of this.
Yeah, this is too confronting.
Destination obsession. Please continue. Thank you.
Look, Jasmine, it's so common. Especially with people who are driven, who want to achieve for the sake of having impact. A lot of people who are also in the business realm, entrepreneurs, business owners, people trying to grow audiences on social media, we feel this inherent guilt, productivity guilt. Mm. We can't stop, otherwise we'll fall behind. We reach the goal, but it's not enough. We push the goalpost even further. So we never get the satisfaction of progress, right? So again, it's not that you don't have discipline. It's almost that you have iron discipline. You set very high standards, which lead you to continually chase the standards. And then if you don't achieve them, then you become self-critical.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not really, for a lot of us, we're doing a lot of things. We're super busy, getting a lot done, but it's not actually getting you to anywhere meaningful because you're not allowing yourself to appreciate the growth, appreciate the journey.
Mm.
And a lot of people forget that this is a sign of self-doubt. It's because you are doubting the value that you bring, and you're doubting that you are ever enough. And so much, you know, when we talk about self-doubt, so much of this originated in the earliest years of your life. in terms of your relationship with your family, the messages you were exposed to, the school you went to. You know, it's not just your parental relationships. We know that there's a big part of that. But it's even beyond that. Early experiences you had in relationships, in your career, these things shape how you see yourself. And then these manifest when it comes to how we approach goals and work and business and career. So these are the most common mind pits that we found people fall into when they're feeling like they're not where they want to be. They're not feeling fulfilled. And so there'll be some element of these for a lot of people.
So if it's possible, and maybe this extends beyond the realm of something you talk about, but we have designated and defined these three mind pits. Do you talk about how to address, because I think that there's listeners who are like, I'm the overthinker. And then I can clearly, and I want to be very honest, and you can ask me any questions because I'm looking at this as like, I am getting to experience PhD quality feedback. So it is an open end, like all questions, ask me anything, because I want to first identify that I too, destination obsession, and then I do believe that this has sprung itself from feeling like I was never enough. So what then do we stop that pattern? Now that we're aware and we classify, what do we do within each of those buckets?
Yes, great question. Well, let's go to the first. Let's work through each of the buckets. So the first one we had was where it's a failure to launch. You're stuck in rumination. If you're stuck in this space, so generally, you know the goals you want to achieve, you just can't get started because of what's going on up here. What we know is that you can't not think about something by telling yourself not to think about it. If I tell you not to think about this, right, this is some pawpaw ointment. I tell you not to think about this pawpaw ointment. You can't not think
about
it.
Wait, hold on, Shade. What is pawpaw?
I think it's papaya. Australia, we call it pawpaw.
Oh, yes, it's papaya. Okay. Because we were going to get DMs after me like, what's pawpaw? I need it. Yes. Okay,
thanks, it's papaya. We need to make sure everyone understands what we're talking about.
It's papaya ointment. Okay, perfect. Papaya ointment. Tell me not to think about it, and I'm going to think about it. Yes.
Exactly. So, and in fact, there was this fascinating experiment called the famous white bear experiment, where they asked people not to think of a white bear. There were two groups, right? One group was asked not to think of a white bear. The other group was asked to think of a white bear. Now, they had to then just write down for, I think, 5 minutes, write whatever they're thinking about. The group that was told not to think of the white bear thought about it more than the group that was told to think of the white bear. So what does this tell us? We can't tell ourselves not to think something. A lot of people in this space tell themselves, I'm not going to focus on what's wrong. I'm not going to focus on risks. It doesn't work like that. So we need to honor what's going on up here. And what can be really helpful is to start with just a mind dump. So you set yourself 10 or 15 minutes, grab a piece of paper and a notebook, and just write down everything on your mind. Allow yourself to become really comfortable with the risks, the challenges, the concerns that you have. Just dump them down. Once you've done that, you might firstly feel like you have a little bit of additional mental clarity because you've finally gotten it down on paper. But then the second step is to look at all of that and say, all right, what can I do something about? And you grab a different colored pen and you circle anything that you do have control over. Because there's always things that we can do and things that are completely outside of our control.
Correct.
So you've gone through and circled what you can do. The next step, we don't leave it there because that can be overwhelming. Like, whoa, there's so many things that I should be doing. The next step is to grab a second colored pen, and you're going to underline the tasks or the things that you can do that you're actually going to do. So now we move to the what I will do or what I intend to do. So you've got this map in front of you. You then create a list. I know a lot of people say things like, don't use lists and find other methods. I really like lists. I'm old school. Create a list. I always encourage you to handwrite it. I think there is the ability to tap into thoughts, you know, when we handwrite things, because how did we all learn to write? It was handwritten, it wasn't typed. So we go back to that. You write your list and every sentence starts with I will or I intend to. And you simply just write down what action you will take. And this is where it comes to what you were saying, Jasmine, about how you just need to start. You just have to take action. Small action, imperfect action, embrace the messiness. That's where it all starts. And just do. That's your first step. That'll help you identify whether you're spending all your time focusing on things outside of your control or whether you are actually focusing on what can I do and what action will I take. So that's for our failure to launch people. Start there and then take action. Now, of course, that doesn't mean taking reckless risks. We start small. There's something I'll talk about potentially a bit later about the importance of realistic risk assessment. That's something that, is important when it comes to self-doubt, so we don't make decisions that we look back on and regret. But that's encouragement for the failure to launch category of people. Now, if you're treading water, if you find that, yes, you commit to something and you were 100% in for a little while, and then you just can't seem to finish it, we often find people in this space are also very passionate about self-development. So they will pick up a book, they will buy a course, and then they'll get a quarter of the way through and then see the next one and then go and buy that and then the next one. So they've got this huge range of unfinished resources. So if this is you, you want to be thinking, how can I, from firstly, make sure that I'm only committing to things that are actually aligned with what I want for myself, the meaning that I'm creating in my life, the impact that I want to have. Make sure that you have a little internal criteria and you can say, yes, this is aligned with what I want. You know, building an audience on social media is aligned because it will allow me to positively influence more people. It's always got to be about the impact to others and less about it will make me more money. Mm-hmm. I understand financial security can be really important for you and your family, but what we know is that that's considered an extrinsic benefit. And if we only have extrinsic benefits, it's very easy when you face a roadblock to think, too hard, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And then you do something else in search of the financial security. So if you can make it all about the impact to others, there's always a way to find that. I had once was giving a talk on Clubhouse, and someone asked me a question. She said, well, I really want to do well in my career so that I can prove to myself that I can do it. Is that considered an extrinsic motivator, or is that something that will inherently motivate me? And this was a really good question, because a lot of people, they want to prove to themselves, right? They want to be the first in their family to do something. Mm-hmm. And that's beautiful. If you take that one step out, if you go beyond that initial circle, what ripples will that create in your life or in the lives of others? And then they start thinking about, well, maybe I will actually empower other people who had a similar upbringing to me to see that and think, I can do that too. Because there is something called motivational contagion, where we need to be able to see someone have done something for us to be able to say, well, it's possible, I can do it. So that, you know, there are always ways we can extend that. So for people treading water, find the meaning. Once you have the meaning, you need to know that sometimes things are going to get challenging. Sometimes you're going to wake up and not want to post on social media or check your emails or do the things that we don't love. You know, we always talk about when it comes to your business, ideally, you want to be doing the things you love the most. That's your genius zone. That's when you feel like you're contributing. But of course, there are sometimes situations where you have to do things that you don't love. It's just the nature of the game. This is where discipline comes in. Knowing that it's not always about motivation. It's about saying, I've committed to this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to prove to myself that I am disciplined enough to get it done. In spite of not feeling like it, there is power in that. If you can do something when you don't feel like it, remind yourself of the power, the ability to harness your willpower to do something. Now, super quickly on this note, I used to tell people, and I'm going to call myself out here, because, you know, when you're on the journey that I'm on, where you're learning so much and you're involved in the PhD side of things, so I'm looking at the research and academic world, I'm learning a lot and having to check my own beliefs. I used to tell people, when it comes to achieving goals, focus on the progress. Focus on the day-by-day progress. It's all about being better than you were yesterday. And yes, that's true to an extent. What if you're not experiencing any progress?
Ooh.
What if you're posting online?
Yes.
Or you're building your business in the early stages? And Jasmine, you might have experienced this, and you're just not seeing anything change. How can you focus on progress when you feel like you're going backwards?
Yes.
So I now change what I say to people. Of course, progress is important. When there's progress to acknowledge, make it about the process.
Ugh.
If you can shift focus away from needing to be better each day to actually making it about, well, I ticked that off today. I did that today. I didn't feel like it, but I did it. Interestingly, Jerry Seinfeld. Did you ever watch Seinfeld growing up, Jasmine?
No, I didn't. I know. I'm one of the few people who had it. I know. I know.
But you know about it. You know about
it. I do. Obviously. I'm very familiar. Yes.
So he was asked at one point in time, he was asked, how did you develop your skill in comedy? And he replied and said, well, what I did is that every single day I would practice my craft, even when I didn't feel like it. And for me, the goal was being able to cross off on my calendar that I had completed another day. I got to a point where I didn't want to break the chain because I could see all these big crosses on my calendar. And so it was about the process and not breaking that chain. And I love that, because when you don't feel like you've got the progress to motivate you, focus on the process, which then becomes about discipline.
Ooh, so good. So good. Okay. So in one sentence summaries, which does not do what the profundity of what you're sharing deserves, but the fix for our failure to launch would be to make a list, a mind dump, which leads to clarity. Ask yourself what you have control over. Underline the things you will do. Make a list and then do it.
Do it.
For people who are treading water, it is to find the meaning and understand that discipline will help you get close to the thing that actually means something to you, and that process is better than progress if we're not really experiencing a lot of progress.
Yes. Absolutely okay. Right.
Now we're bringing them to my people. To the destination obsessors. Talk to me. Take me to church.
So if you are in, or if you resonate with being destination obsessed, we know that it comes from deep down feeling like you're not enough. And it can, you know, a lot of people believe that this is actually what has led to a lot of their success, because it pushes them. It gives them the motivation and the drive to keep achieving. We need to acknowledge that while it may have had a part in driving us, it's not healthy. It's not doing us any favors in terms of how we feel about ourselves. And so one exercise that I think is really powerful is, it's a little morbid when you think about it, so you need to kind of get your head out of that space. Look, every day that passes, we are moving towards the end of our lives. And I Absolutely. Know we don't like to think about that, but
no,
we are. It's
bring
the reality.
It. Yes.
Right? It's the reality. That's where we're headed. So flash forward. You're at your own funeral. This is actually an exercise that Stephen Covey encourages in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. He says, flash forward, you're a fly on the wall at your funeral. What are people saying about you? What are they saying about you? What is your family and what are your family and friends saying? What are your business associates saying? What is your community saying? And in this case, it would be, what do you want them to say? Then you bring things back to the present and you think, how can I create that now so that when I get there, that's the legacy I'm leaving? And what this does is it reminds you that we can get so fixated on the here and now and achieving the goals and what's next. We're all going to end up in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be thinking about, how do we make sure that we're not leaving people behind? We're creating that legacy. That's a really beautiful existential exercise you can do just to reflect on, who am I? Who do I want to be? Now, the second really pragmatic part around this is, for someone who is destination obsessed, you're very good at setting and achieving goals. You're not so good at taking time off for yourself. But without doing that, you are going to lead yourself to emotional exhaustion, or at least not be able to use all of your gifts. Because, you know, I use this little analogy in one of my posts. You know, we have a certain amount of cognitive power each day. You know, let's say we wake up in the morning and this cup is full. With every decision that we make, with every task we're working on, we pour out a little bit of that water. I've got to make sure I don't actually make a mess here on my microphone. Mm-hmm. We pour out a bit of that water. If you're never giving yourself time for that to be replenished, you're going to be running on empty. And if you have an empty cup, you can't give to others. I know a lot of people who are destination obsessed also are givers. So they like to give of themselves, say yes to people. They like other people to be happy as well. And so it can lead to this state of self-neglect where you're not looking after yourself. You say to yourself, well, I'm doing this for the family. I'm working so hard so I can set us up, so we have financial security. So it's always this drive, this responsibility you put on yourself. In order for you to reflect on that and really unwire that unhealthy thinking, you have to take time. You've got to carve out time. Make it a goal. Make it a goal to carve out 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever it is each day. Put it in your calendar. Again, bring the discipline to everything else that you have.
Right.
Bring it to that as well. And when you have that time, you know, one way that we encourage people to carve out this time is actually through something as simple as walking outside. Mm-hmm. Charles Darwin famously had a thinking path where he would go out walking without taking anything with him and just allow himself to reflect. Because when we're going outside, for a lot of people who struggle to take time, they want to still be doing something because they have a productivity orientation. When you're outside, you're moving your legs. You're progressing in a forward motion. You're also doing something called lateralized eye movement. So your eyes are tracking right and left. Interestingly, lateralized eye movements and forward progress, self-generated forward movement, when we look at some of the neuroscience research from 2018, it activates a part of the brain which is all about leaning into friction. Mm. And for a lot of people, acknowledging that they're destination obsessed is going to cause some friction. So walking outside is powerful. Also, when you're not actively engaging your brain to focus on a task or achieve a goal or solve a problem, the brain's default network is activated and it will still be thinking about things. Jasmine, have you ever had an amazing idea when you've been showering or
yes.
doing the dishes
or working or out? Walk?
Yes, right? Mm-hmm. It's because of what's going on in the brain. And a lot mm-hmm. of us can relate. We have this increase in creativity when we're not actually thinking about
Correct.
The thing we need to be thinking about. It's because of this part of the brain. So I encourage anyone who is destination obsessed, carve out that you time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take your devices, your phones, try and really just connect because this is you demonstrating and applying your discipline in a realm where it's really going to help you. The next step is obviously cultivating your sense of self-worth. This is where acknowledging progress is important because if you're destination obsessed, you will be progressing even if it's just look at all the things I achieved last year. Yes, I keep pushing up the goalposts, but actually look at what I did.
Mm.
And it can help to discuss this with someone else. And share with them, oh, I did this. Did you notice that I did that? Just get someone else's perspective because often we're so in here that we don't look at where we've come. We're constantly putting the new destination in the GPS that we don't look at the journey we've been on and everything we've learned along the way. For me personally, it's for people who are destination obsessed, it really helps them to look away from tangible accomplishment and towards growth. Personal growth and development. What new insights do you have about yourself? What new revelations did you learn about the world and the impact you can have? That's the stuff that really matters. That's also allowing you to tap into the meaning that you need to keep you going over the long term.
Mm. So this conversation, I came in with an idea of what it could be. And all I feel so strongly is the conversation is what it should be. And I don't know, you had mentioned, and I definitely want to talk about that. You had made a reference to something that had happened on TikTok. And so what I sense very strongly is we have a group of entrepreneurs who are self-identifying and then feeling very hopeful. Because I can identify and I can see this is a clear path and a pattern to get me to where I want to go. So the goal was when we started was just start. And then we outlined the reasons or self-doubt why we don't start. And then we came back and we have like kind of like a path, a starting point of, okay, enough's enough. You could have feigned a knowing and now you no longer can. So now we've gotten to a point in this conversation where we talk about showing up and doing things that are making us a little bit uncomfortable. I would like to tap a little bit and use you as an example of when did you start feeling doubt? When did you start getting traction? And then how did you talk yourself into doing something that perhaps didn't feel so natural? And now from the outside, you have this massive following. You're doing these massive things. Talk to us about that journey of getting to where you are.
Absolutely. And this is the TikTok story that I want to share.
Okay, that's a lead-in. That's a lead-in. Okay.
You knew about this one, Jasmine. Well done. Well done. So this is back. Okay, so 2020. Take your mind back to the beginning of 2020. I had just left my 10-year corporate career. And we had plans to relocate to Southeast Asia to expand our business in that region. I left on the 20th of March. We had flights to leave the country on the 27th of March, 1 week after. So within this 1 week, we had sold our couch, we'd sold a lot of our stuff, and then the international restrictions hit. Because of course, there is this global pandemic. All of a sudden, our plans around global expansion and relocating to another, continent out the window. we found ourselves with all of our events, because at this time we were focusing on corporate. We were doing training programs, really supporting some of the world's largest organizations. So it was amazing that we had this lined up. That all was just indefinitely postponed or canceled. So we found ourselves in, it was in Melbourne, Australia, which ended up being the world's most locked down city.
Yes. So
that, you know, the other yes. thing. But we found ourselves really twiddling our thumbs and thinking, what are we meant to do while we wait? That's when I had been hearing about this app called TikTok. Now, back then, I really wasn't on Instagram. I didn't really understand what it was. I posted a few things. I wasn't gaining traction. So I assumed it wasn't for me, as a lot of us do, right? We don't give ourselves the time. And then we assume, not for me. Let me put myself elsewhere. This was my treading water, starting something up. So then, TikTok.
I love this. Thank you for being so open. This is perfect.
Of course. Okay. Yeah. It's important to understand what the reality is
yes.
for a lot of these things.
Yes.
So back then, twiddling our thumbs, I applied to, you know, do a PhD program. But in addition to that, I thought, let me try this app called TikTok. At that time, I didn't have it. So I had to create the account. No one knew who I was. So I thought, great, there's not really any risk. So that was the first thing. But I also knew, after 10 years of experience of working with my mind and understanding how I think, I am a big risk focused person.
Is this where we're going to talk about your risk assessment?
Yes.
Are we blending the two? Because I made notes. Okay, okay, okay.
Fantastic. So I was doing realistic risk assessment. Simply, I have three columns on a piece of paper. Left-hand side is, what are all of the real risks associated with doing this? So one risk was that someone from one of the organizations we were working with would see it and it would lower my credibility. Another one would be, well, big waste of time. In this case, there was no monetary risk. So, you know, but you could still include that. If you're involving yourself in a business venture and you need to consider what are the risks, you include everything down, dump it all down. So this is almost like one of those brain dumps where you put everything down in the left column. In the middle column, you highlight what is a real rational risk and what is a risk that I am just creating in my mind. So for me, someone from an organization seeing it and it reducing my credibility was a risk I was just creating in my mind. It was something that I was worried about, but it wasn't really a tangible risk. In fact, there is a little link there about how it wasn't a risk at all, and I'll share that. Then in the third column, you highlight, okay, for any that you've identified, there is a real risk. What can I do to help minimize that risk? Because sometimes there are risks. One of them would be, well, it could be a big waste of time. So I said, okay, I'm going to try it for 40 days. If it doesn't work after 40 days, that's it. Now, the other way that I mitigated that, and I also mitigated any risk of me losing interest because I wasn't seeing traction. I know on social media, things take time. So I filmed 40 TikTok videos in one day.
Oh,
40 videos in one day, which meant I had 40 days worth of content and I could not back down.
Good for you. Wow.
So this is how I mitigated that risk. And that's how it started. So it was one day I committed. That was my risk minimization strategy. Get them all done. Can't back down for 40 days. And I'm so happy that I did that, because the first 3 weeks, zero engagement. Because, of course, no one is seeing your content, so you can't gain any traction. Then at the end of week three, one of my videos got picked up by the algorithm and I had about 8,000 views on it, which was amazing for someone with a very small following. The following week, one of my videos went viral on the platform, had about 60,000 views overnight. And then,
what was the topic?
This was on how when people meet you for the first time, they judge you based on two things, your warmth and then your competence. So it was all around social psychology and people like that kind of stuff. It went viral. And then so within 4 weeks, 75,000 people following on TikTok. And I didn't have to create a single additional piece of content. This was all relying on that one day where I just dumped all my ideas down as my trial. Now, what that TikTok experience showed me is, firstly, we give up way too soon. A lot of us would have gotten to the beginning of week three and said, this is not for me. I've given it a go. 21 days, not happening. Right? We need to push just a little bit further. I'm a firm believer that those who make it are those who push through the resistance just a little longer, because you never know what is on the other side. That was the first lesson. The second lesson was, you need to understand what your blocks could be and take steps to minimize them. For me, I knew that if I didn't see traction in 3 weeks, I would have given up. I also am very in tune with my energy. So when we work with organizations, something we talk about is the importance of understanding what your energy is like each day and throughout the week, and then capitalizing on the days when you have great positive energy, and not necessarily pushing yourself on the days when you're really not feeling it. This is about tapping in with you. For me, I have days when I have amazing energy and days when I don't. I don't want to force myself to create. And it's funny because you could say, well, but that would be discipline if you force yourself to do it. My view is you can use discipline and make it work for you. So on that day when I recorded, I had amazing positive energy. Glad I got that done. Batching content, I'm sure you talked about this, so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
The third lesson, you actually posted about this, I think, a couple of days ago, consistency.
Mm.
Consistency beats talent. Consistency beats ability. It's just committing to something, being disciplined about it, and doing it.
Mm.
So they were my lessons from TikTok, and it's just been, that's how it all started. Creating, prior to TikTok, we had not created that sort of video content. It was not something that we did. Now, social media videos, these short, you know, 30 to 60 second videos, is our primary marketing lever. Okay. Oh, and you know my initial concern about someone from one of these organizations might see it. And that's how we got a number of our international clients. That's how JP Morgan Switzerland became a client. That's how we started working with McDonald's, Electrolux. Because people within the companies saw this content and then took it back.
Oh, good.
So here I was thinking it would damage the reputation of the brand. And actually, that's what has secured these clients. So there's so many lessons in that, I think, for people to know and to remind themselves. Firstly, you've got to just start.
Hmm.
My earliest videos are embarrassing. I look back and I cringe, but that's where I started. I've got to honor that. And then, you know, pivoting and learning as you go, really taking steps to alleviate risks that you have, making sure that the mm-hmm. risks or the concerns you have are real and not just created by your overthinking mm-hmm. brain, and then just taking action, having mm-hmm. the discipline, honoring your energy levels, and then just doing it.
This is so much better than I thought it was going to be good. And I just feel like I got my cup refilled by you.
Aww.
I want to say thank you, because I'm just going to highlight what actually happened. If you're here and you're listening, let's take a big step back. We started off the conversation by stating we must start. And then we broke down three big reasons, generalizations, of course, of why we don't. Three types of self-doubt that stop us from taking action. And then we went in and we gave a few steps to actually remove the doubt and remove the excuses that we would give ourselves. And then what we would do thereafter is have a plan to actually get us into motion. And then we asked Sade for a personal example of how perhaps this doubt was popping up. And she kind of sort of alluded, and maybe I'm just going to jump the gun and just kind of say that she was a little bit in the treading water right when it came to her creating content for this business. And it was thrusted. Her life was thrusted into doing this. So what did she do? She started mitigating her risk. And then finding ways, she started classifying her risks, what's real, what's perceived. And for the real risks, she started creating ways to mitigate it. And the very thing that she thought was a real risk that could compromise her business was the very thing that set her business up for success far beyond she thought could exist on a singular platform. So much so that she went from zero to 75,000 followers in 30 days. When she had given herself 40. So friends, we don't just see somebody saying, I study, I'm working on a PhD, and I'm great at what I do. What we saw was, I have done the work, I am doing the work, and I'm sharing the work. Sade, thank you so much for the gift that you are. Thank you for walking us through. Thank you for giving us concrete paths to simply get started. And thank you for just taking the time selfishly. I'm saying thank you for refilling my cup and reminding me to remain disciplined, not to the work, but to my morning gratitude practice and meditations and the things that I do, because it's not selfish. It's actually self-care. And I think it was a total reframe moment for me. So I want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How can people go deeper with what it is you do? How can they follow the journey on all social platforms, specifically, but going to your website and getting more information? Where do they go?
Well, firstly, before I even dive into that, Jasmine, huge thank you for the opportunity to come here. It's, you know, you said you were fangirling at the beginning. I've been fangirling ever since you reached out. It's a pleasure. I'm such, you know, being in this space now. And, you know, one thing just for all the listeners, we hit 2 million followers across platforms in 2 years. That's how rapid this process was. And along that journey, I've come across a lot of creators. I've met a lot of creators. I really respect those who are truly authentic and who are dedicated to serving, truly serving their audience. And Jasmine, that's something you do. And I have no doubt that people who listen to you and follow you do the same. So it's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
For, so we share a lot of content across platforms, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn. That's primarily where you can go deeper. I mean, we try and share as, I say we, because again, it's my husband, you see me, but he's in the background strategizing, developing ideas and content. So feel free to come there. We have some exciting projects later this year and 2023. But
Shade, yeah, you didn't give, you say, please go there, but where? Where are social platforms?
Instagram, LinkedIn, just follow on your favorite social platform.
Beautiful.
If it can, you know, if this session or this talk can.
But how are they finding you, Shade? I feel like I'm completely like missing it. You're not shouting out the actual handle.
Oh, of course. Clearly, I need to do more of this. No. So it's Shade Zarai is my handle. It's just my name. So Shade Zahrai. You can find me anywhere. And I'd love to hear from you. If you really resonated with something from this session with Jasmine, please connect. Please share it with me. That's wonderful.
Thank you. We are going to be linking to her socials within the show notes, but I wanted to make sure that people had a very clear directive hearing it audibly. I 1,000 times over, it makes me uncomfortable to hear nice words about myself, but coming from you, I appreciate it. And I also think and firmly believe that if you ever left my outgoing message on my cell phone, I would be the luckiest person because I could hear you talk all day long.
We can set that up. You said, Jasmine, please leave a message.
My dreams would come true. Shade, thank you 1,000 times over. You are a gift to the world, and there's going to be so many people who just 40 minutes ago found an excuse not to start, and you refuted it so kindly and beautifully and brilliantly. Thank you for being you. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Jasmine. Likewise, I appreciate you.